The meeting is being streamed until we get to any confidential items. Now we do have a quorum. I'll just ask members present if there's any potential conflict of interest they wish to note in respect of any item on the agenda. No. One thing I would like to say to the members before we commence is that I've noticed that starting to creep into some of the electronic meetings are interjections which are out of order. So I think the best way to proceed is for people to be muted until they're called on. So I'll try and apply that consistently, and Ms. McKenzie will help me with that. It does mean a slight delay as people unmute themselves, but it does help for an orderly meeting. And I can assure you it is more difficult sharing electronically than all being in the room together, but we'll get through it. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the last general council meeting? Now, before we do, there was an issue about whether one particular item, namely the reasons for deferral of the basketball item, whether that was correctly recorded in minutes. Councillor Crossland, that mostly concerned you because staff ascribed motives according to what they heard in the meeting. So do you wish to comment on the minutes as they are currently recorded?
Only that I'm happy with the minutes as they are recorded. I did look at your email, and yes, I did point out five deficiencies in the feasibility report, but the only one that I thought was inexcusable was pressing ahead with the project without telling the community.
I see. So are there any other objections or questions? If not, then I'll just Councillor Hull. Now, Councillor Hull, you have unmuted according to what I can see, but we still can't hear you. Might be another button that needs to be pressed. And then I see Councillor Telfer wishes to speak as well. Perhaps we can come back to this item if no one objects. So we'll move on to the elected member communications. Would someone just like to move that they be received? Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Masika.
I have a correction to...
A correction, yes, Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, I didn't attend the Tennis Club of the Month barbecue. I did attend the BMX, and I'm not the Deputy Mayor, so it doesn't really matter.
Do you mean to say that the description should be Councillor Hutchinson, not Councillor Pryor?
I think so.
Can staff correct that, please? Yeah, I think it was a change that came in November. Any other questions or comments regarding the reports? Then that was moved, Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Gard, I believe. All those in favour, raise your hand. Thank you, unanimously. Sorry, Councillor Hull, can you hear me? Because technically Councillor Hull's in the meeting, but he's not voting. So who's on the phone to Councillor Hull? Could that be resolved?
Through the chair, Dana's currently on the phone to Councillor Hull trying to resolve the issue.
Well, then could he either participate in the meeting or leave the meeting until it's resolved?
Yep, hang on a minute.
He's left the meeting, so that vote was... I'll just take the vote again on receiving the reports. All those in favour, raise your hand. Thank you, unanimous. And as I said, we're coming back to confirmation of the minutes. Committee recommendations. remember that the actual meaty stuff, the subject of decisions, will come back separately. But those committee recommendations on page... Oh, no, I beg your pardon. McConnell Avenue Reserve is the next item on page 16. Mm. I didn't mean to jump 160 pages. Hope all members are up to speed there. There are three options logically to dispose of the western section, retain the western section, or defer for further investigations, etc., as outlined in the report. Members will have picked up, there's a bit of email traffic prior to the meeting, just clarifying that because this has been deferred mid-debate from a previous meeting, and the motions that were moved and seconded then literally are not relevant in the same way because the upgrade has occurred rather than being yet to occur. The most orderly way of proceeding would be for the mover and seconder to agree to withdraw their motions and to resume debate afresh. And under those circumstances, everyone would have an equal right to participate as opposed to being knocked out because they've already spoken. So, Ms. McKenzie, that sound all right? Yep. So if you could just remind me who the mover and seconder were, please.
Sorry, I'll just pull it up.
It's at the top.
Councillors Gard and Masika. So, I mean, are Councillors Gard and Masika happy to, in a sense, wipe the slate clean from a year ago or whenever it was and start afresh with a motion for this meeting? Councillor Gard?
Yes, Your Worship, yes. I am happy to start.
Thank you. Councillor Masika, you're happy to proceed that way? Very good. The motions withdrawn, well, I should ask leave of the meeting. Does anyone object to that? No. So I take it that there's leave of the meeting, and that leaves it open now to proceed with any other motion. So as usual, I'll look to the ward members, and Councillor Gard wishes to move.
Your Worship, I would like to move for option three after quite a deal of consideration internally and externally. Councillor Crossland, I think he won't mind me speaking on his behalf, and he may even second. But we have had discussion. We believe, looking at all aspects, the mood of the community, what we have done most successfully on the eastern side of the reserve, all points to the fact that we're in a very good position now to really do a proper job of assessment of demand. And I believe it should be done, not in a couple of months, but over a substantial period of time. And I think initially we were talking about a year or thereabouts. February next year would be neat. Because it would involve the completion of a second summer. And by that time, if there is to be substantial demand on the eastern side, implying that there might be demand on the western side of the reserve were it to be retained and developed, then that would be measurable by then. And I think also that the community is in the mind as well that that would be a very fair approach. So I move without further ado that option three be adopted and that February 23 be the date to insert.
Thanks for that motion. Seconded. Councillor Crossland, wish to speak? No. Anyone speaking against? Councillor Vlescu?
I'd like to either ask the movers if they consider February 24 to allow for progress on the site right near the right nearby. Otherwise, if that's not acceptable, I'll be moving an amendment as such.
Just to clarify, Councillor Velisco, I think we can say, do you mean the Seacliff site or something else?
Yes, I do.
Thanks, yeah, just for clarity.
Because that gives you an idea of the demand for the whole area. I think that's probably a better way to go.
So what does the mover think of a two-year delay?
Well, there is a debate within the debate there. I thoroughly understand and accept the thinking of Councillor Velisco in principle. I'm just not sure what it would achieve.
There's not a requirement for a full debate on the point. If the councillor's not entirely comfortable with it, then we can leave it as an amendment. So perhaps we'll test it that way. Councillor Velescu, would you like to proceed with an amendment and speak to it?
Yeah, look, this issue's come up a lot. There's a lot of concern in the community. And I think unless it's retained on the 2023, the community are going to say, look, you're going to have all these buildings, all these extra people moving into the area. We need the open space. So we really need to assess once, you know, that's a little bit more concrete, whether that's needed. So I just think that's a better way to go. If people accept it, that's fine. If they don't, then, you know, that's the decision people may have around the chamber.
The amendment's been moved. Is the amendment seconded? Councillor Hull, did you wish to second the amendment? I'm afraid we're still having those sound issues. I presume staff are still on the phone to Councillor Hull. Very well. I'm trying to fix that. Councillor Telfer is willing to second the amendment. So yes. Amendments. Yes. Did you
can I just that, say Councilor? Why? I note the survey with a strong group of people that want it to stay. I note that we expect we can work on and get the community hall in place. I think that we have a better understanding in 2 years' time, in 2024.
Now, I've just, through screen sharing, I've just lost sight of the councillors, thank you. Seems to all to be beyond my control at the moment. I can see you all again. Now, there's no further debate on an amendment, so the amendment must be put straight away. So I'll ask you to vote on the amendment for an extra year of review or deferral. All those in favour, raise your hand visibly. All those against, raise your hand. Councillor Hull hasn't voted. Could somebody inform Councillor Hull of what we are voting on, either that or he will have to leave the meeting until the sound issue is resolved. I'm sorry about that, but we can't have someone staying in the meeting and not voting. So I'll ask for the vote again. Those in favour of the amendment, please raise your hand. Those against the amendment, please raise your hand. The amendment is negatived, so we continue with the debate. Anyone who hasn't spoken may speak for or against the original motion. If there are no more speakers, Councillor Crossland, you did second the motion, but please, if you have a point of order, go ahead. We just need to unmute you.
It's sort of a clarification, and I am unmuted. I haven't spoken yet. It may be just a comment rather than a question. We had an update on the Seacliff development, and it's likely that it will be 8 to 10 years before that area is fully basically developed, and it will include a lot more open space.
Well, of course, if there is scope for one more amendment under the rules, if anyone who hasn't yet spoken wants to defer a decision for 10 years, that can always be done. But Otherwise, are there any more speakers in the debate? Otherwise, it's back to Councillor Gard to close the debate. All right, Councillor Gard, go ahead if you wish.
Thank you, Worship. Just to address the point behind the amendment that is lost, and that is the point that Councillor Crossland made. It will be some time before the development arises. I believe there'll be time, in all fairness, to consult the developers about their feelings. We certainly are talking to them about the potential of the golf course. It's sort of in the same ilk. And that we also will be striking while the iron's hot, because there's every chance on the other side of the coin that demand for the eastern side could drop off. So I'm trying to sort of get that line of best fit to give everybody an opportunity for there to be a proper outcome where the objectivity will prevail. So that really is the only other thing I have to say.
Put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. So that's carried by majority. Thank you. A note to staff from the chair. I didn't want to, far be it from me to interfere in a debate by asking such a question, but if staff could, if they're going to make comparisons between local reserves as opposed to between local and neighbourhood, I'm sure the community would appreciate that as well. And hopefully there won't be any more theft of the census on the site, which obviously doesn't help the council. But with that, we'll go on to next item. So those two sets of committee recommendations on page 156.
Matt, just before we go on, Bruce just popped in the chat. He still hasn't been able to get his audio working, but he'd like to still participate in the vote. It just means he won't be able to debate any item.
I'm very happy for Councillor Hull to participate and vote, as long as we can see that he's voting, and we'll assume that he can hear us, and that is fine. It'll make it very difficult to move or second motions, but that's fine. Welcome to Councillor Hull to participate in that way. The only question I have then, since we're having that clarified, is whether Councillor Hull wished to communicate anything in relation to the minutes of the last general council meeting. Did he mention that to staff? Well,
I don't believe so.
See, now I'm wondering whether he's listening to what Councillor Hull, can you hear what I'm saying? Can you hear me? Can you hear what I'm saying, Councillor Hull? No. Mm. So we won't go back to the minutes yet, but Ms. McKinsey.
Sorry, I believe he can hear what you're saying.
He was indicating it by waving the phone.
I believe Sarana might be on the phone to him now.
All right.
Sorry. I was on the phone. Sorry.
So point of order from Councillor Schilling.
Can we just adjourn the meeting for 5 minutes to try and sort this thing out with Councillor Hull so we can then get back to normal? It's a bit disappointing that he can't participate.
Well, that could go on all night if we haven't been able to solve it in 20 minutes. So I'm reluctant to do that with a packed agenda. However, if Councillor Hull can hear me, just raise a hand if you can hear me, Councillor Hull. Thank you. Do you wish to comment through someone else in relation to the minutes of the last meeting? No. Okay. Let us then go back to the confirmation of the minutes of the last GC, referring to page 4 on our current agenda. We had a mover and a seconder. You've got that recorded, Ms. McKenzie?
I have a mover. I don't have a seconder.
Do we have a seconder? Councillor Masika, thank you. Then I'll put the motion, those minutes be accepted as they are. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that carried by majority. Very well. We can now move forward to the committee minutes I was referring to, pages 150, 156. They could be taken on block. This is the more innocuous element of the minutes. Councillor Schilling to move. No comment. Councillor Duncan to second. Without comment. Then I'll simply put the motions. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. Yeah, that is unanimous. Thank you. So now we come to confidential items. Staff tell me it was a mistake that they were put in the middle of the agenda. It has been our custom for the whole COVID period, at least, to have the confidential items dealt with at the end of the agenda. Does anyone object if we move them to the end of the agenda? If we don't, then the tech problem is that we simply have to have two meeting breaks to start this meeting again. But if there are no objections, then we'll do that with leave of the meeting. So we'll move that to after the questions on notice. That leaves us still in the public arena with the corporate reports for decision. So on page 174, we've got carbon offset project. Do I have a member who would like to move something? Councillor Masika, moving as printed.
Yeah, thanks, Your Worship. I'd like to move as printed. And as the report indicates, that if we've done everything, so we can wait and see other ways of doing carbon sequestration, but it's not an urgent matter for the time being.
Very well. Is that seconded? Councillor Duncan, thank you. Did you wish to speak? No. Anyone against? Then I'll put the motion. Oh, sorry, Councillor Crossland, go ahead.
Just a couple of questions that may or may not be able to be answered by staff. So the first question is, if we were to look at a sequestration project that would neutralise our current carbon emissions, how much land would we need for a tree plantation or something similar? Because it's sort of a big thing that we needed in the report, but I can't find that answer in there.
Through the chair, I can through the chair, I can maybe only shed some light without being confident. I remember when we had the presentation at an elected member forum with representatives from outside the council. The suggestion was it was a very significant portion of land that was required to try and get the requisite balance between scale size plantings over a very extended period of time, and hence we got into this position where it wasn't cost effective looking at a 20-year type time frame. So my recollection was it was a very significant piece of land, a portion of land, and initially there was some doubt as to whether or not Glenthorn, for example, or the Field River were even going to provide us the space to actually advance such a project. But I certainly can't give you more explicit details of square meterage or hectares or acres as an example.
Would that be something that I could just put as a question on notice?
I'm absolutely sure. I'm sure the detail would be readily available as to size and scale that would be required. But I do recall quite distinctly that it was a very sizable portion of land and area that would be required.
Councillor Crossman, just go to Mr. Allen, who's got some more information.
Thank you, through the chair. Based on the exercise undertaken in the Field River, it would equal about 540 hectares, which is 50 kilometres by 50 kilometres. Now, that's subject to the conditions of the land around access, terrain, soil type, and growing conditions. So we could get somewhere more favourable than the Field River.
Councillor Crossland, do you still need that as a question on notice?
Just to clarify, is that comparing the area of land that's similar to Field River, Or are we talking if we got some agricultural land that was suitable for, say, forestry, that we need 50 kilometres by 50 kilometres for that style land? Is that what you're saying, Mr. Allen?
Thank you, through the chair. So that's based on the data generated out of the Field River. So it doesn't account for sort of prime agricultural land.
Yeah, so can I leave the question on notice? Can I leave it as a question on notice, please, Mr. Right. Mayor?
Yes,
and of course. Second question on notice. Just for comparison, I mean, just by way of comparison, this is an environmental project for whole of community. But if we look at something like Edwardstown, which for us a small amount of well-being for a small number of people, another question I noticed, can Mr. Barnwell provide a whole of life cost for Edwardstown, just as a comparison? I know doing environmental projects aren't cheap, but I bet they're still cheaper than a building for 40 years in a long-term financial plan with all the bells and whistles that we pay for.
And sorry, Councillor Crossland, when you say Edwardstown, can you just be more specific?
Sorry, Edwardstown Sports Complex. We know it's built for well-being and we know it's great for community, same as an environmental project, but I wouldn't mind knowing the whole of cost comparison of the two projects.
Right.
Financially, financial-wise.
Do you mean if trees were planted on that site, that equivalent area, or?
No.
You mean the carbon sequestration project
The whole carbon sequestration project could cost $11
million.
We forward predicted 25 years of cost. If we did the same for every project, what would it look like financially?
All right. Well, staff can have a go at that. Sounds like it's quite a big question, so that can be taken on notice. Thank you. Any others, Councillor Crossland? I heard something.
Can you hear me?
Councillor Hull, yes, thank you. You're on. Did you have a question?
No, not at all. I'm just I apologise. I'm just patching in. Sorry.
All right. No, everything's good now. Thank you. So it's been moved. It's been seconded. I think so. Yes, Councillor Duncan. So if there aren't any more speakers, I'll simply put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. Councillor Hull, can you hear me? All those in favour, yes, that's... anyone against, raise your hand. Councillor Gard, yes. This is the voting process. So that is carried by majority. Thank you. Unless there is a point of order, we'll move on.
Can I call a division just to clarify who voted for what, because there was confusion?
Yes. All those in favour of the motion as printed in relation to the sequestration, raise your hand. I'll read them in the order I see them on the screen. Keep your hand up, please. Councillors Telfer, Mason, Duncan, Masika, Gard, Bulescu, Hull, Schilling, and Clancy. Put your hands down, please. And those who are against the motion, please raise your hand and keep it up. They are Councillors Crossland and Pryor. And that's all. So the motion is carried. Ms. McKenzie, you've got the full complement there. Okay, good. So we move on. Mitchell Street, Glengowrie, parking 209. Someone like to move, Councillor Bulescu?
Oh, thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to proceed with option four. This is the option that provides a lot of car parks. So this issue is probably one I've been involved with since my first term. Parking's a problem in that street. It's legally big enough, wide enough, but it's not practically big enough. So this gives a little bit of space, a bit of breathing space on each side at some points. The staff have been very good in giving us the heads up on this and answering our questions. So it seems that that option is in order. I put this to council, and it's probably a little bit less disruptive, like you don't actually have like indents and things like that, which I think sort of there's a bit of a more smooth effect.
Is that motion seconded? Councillor Clancy, wish to speak?
I'm just wondering if anyone's interested, if Mr. Lundborg would like to share what the option looks like.
Very well. I think it's in the agenda, but if it won't take a moment to do a screen share. So,
yeah, the technical drawings are in the agenda, but I just was people might like to see for areas in this.
All right, I'll come back to Councillor Schilling in a moment. Mr. Lundborg, are you able to share quickly what option four would look like?
Yes, yep, I'll pull it up. You see that?
Where the blue cars parked on the sort of grey footpath area.
Yeah, yeah. Correct. Yep.
Okay, thank you. I'll go back to Councillor Schilling. Oh, sorry, Councillor Clancy. I'm not sure if you had finished.
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Schilling, a question or speaking against? A
question.
Yes.
Just with regards to the trees, I couldn't see really within the report what sort of trees would be removed, whether they're significant, are they native trees, and what are we doing with those trees? I know it's only three trees, but it's still three trees. So what are we doing to replace those trees? Let's go from there.
Trees, Mr. Lundborg.
Yeah, through the chair. So those trees are, I believe, underneath the power lines or streetlights. I haven't had an arborist to go out there to actually check the heights and the widths and the health of the trees. But the intent of that would be, once if the trees were subject for removal, we will be replacing trees within the vicinity. So no net loss of trees for that option.
One follow-up question. Do we know what type of trees they are? Are they a native? Are they a non-native?
Mr. Lundborg.
Through the chair, sorry. No, sorry. Don't have the species or the types of trees.
Could that be taken on notice, please, and whether they're regulated as well?
Thank you. Councillor Crossland has a question or speaking against.
A question first of all. Looking at this road, it doesn't look that many houses are being developed. I'm concerned that obviously we're removing trees. If we make this a new policy and we remove street trees for this type of scenario, can Mr. Lundberg tell me how many street trees and how many projects we might have to do across council? Because this will set a sort of a new benchmark for us.
And I suppose part of that question, is it something that is actually standard, or is there anything unique about this treatment or this street problem, Mr. Lundborg?
Yeah, through the chair. That's probably something that needs to be discussed, I guess, when you undertake these options analysis. There'll be a number of streets within council that would have narrow road widths similar to Mitchell Street, which is below our standard of 7.2, which is this road here, which is the 7.6. So I guess when we do these parking studies and utilisation surveys, if it is deemed to be high utilisation, high occupancy within the street, I guess with those feasibility studies, we'll be looking into whether or not indented parking bays or partial paved areas are a feasible option, taking into account the environmental impact as well as the social impact and how many car parks can be gained on the street.
Councillor Crossland, anything further?
Yeah, I didn't really answer my question, but can you tell me how many streets? I mean, this one's not even a through road; it's a close. How many streets have you got? Any rough idea how many streets this could affect? Was it looked into as part of this study?
Through the chair, so I guess that's something we can pull up on the road register and work out what the current other road widths within the city of Marion where we might have to look at that option, but I'll have to probably take that one on notice.
So that's a question on notice. Did you wish to speak in the debate, Councillor Crossland?
I will. I noticed there's other questions, so I'm speaking before I've got any of those. But look, I'm completely against this on the basis that There's not much development in that street. They're big houses. There's plenty of visible parking, on-street parking. They've all got driveways. We're struggling to get street trees in as it is, and now we're going to commence taking them out, which could affect a number of streets across council. I think it's ill-conceived and not very well planned.
Now, Councillor Hull had a question or two.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I agree with Councillor Crossland. I have a question. Councillor Pryor and I have dealt with narrow streets before, particularly up in Seacon Gardens and that area, where the solution put by administration was no car parking down one side for a considerable length from Seacon Road down. Now, it was never put to us that this was a solution. As Councillor Crossland's intimated, that when people actually see this solution, will they come back to Councillor Pryor and I and actually say, we would like to see the same treatment done in our street because we'd like to be able to park on the road again. And that will equate to the loss of hundreds of street trees if that was to happen. So I guess the question is, are we setting a really dangerous precedent with this? Are there any unknown or unanticipated consequences for a decision like this? Because people will seize on it and expect it to happen in their street as well.
Who'd like to answer that? Partly rhetorical, but Mr. Allen?
Thank you, through the chair. It is on a case-by-case basis. So there's some examples where indented parking is just not to be considered. There's impacts to infrastructure, other services, significant trees. It does set a precedent, and we have actually got some indented parkings through the city, so down at Shido Park, Plimpton Park, Morfordville. So it does depend on the environment surrounding, you know, where we're considering to do intended parking. But it does set a precedent, I agree.
Mr. Allen, just to clarify that, are you saying it sets a precedent where there is already a precedent? Or is this different? Oh, okay. Councillor Holland, another question?
Yeah, how many trees are we looking at losing during this process? Or more importantly, how many trees are we denying the opportunity for by turning our footpaths into these car parks?
I think it was talking about three removals, wasn't it? Mr. Lundborg, you're going to answer that?
Yeah, through the chair, correct. The option four that's been presented, three trees for removal.
And Councillor Hull wanted to know, with the works being done, how many street trees is that also preventing being planted notionally?
Yeah, correct. So I guess with the proposed area for the parking bay area, you'd probably lose around approximately 25 to 30 linear metres of frontages that could potentially be used for planting, which would be transferred into indented parking.
25 to 30 metres, does one of the managers know, would that normally might be four or five trees in that sort of a length, or?
Through the chair, or even more, six or seven trees.
Six or seven trees, okay.
Mr. Mayor, one last question, if I may.
You have three, yes, okay.
Knowing how some people actually value their street trees, has there been any community consultation done on this issue that as a consequence of the proposed works, do those residents agree to lose those street trees?
Well, Councillor Hull, you'll see from the agenda that the proposal is to put the motion effectively to the community for consultation. So we get the answer after tonight. That's the proposal.
Right. So will it be explicitly explained to the residents the consequence of this losing the street trees?
Well, I think staff can simply take that on notice
because
the preparation of the materials.
Because this happened with the driveway
You've used up the questions, Councillor Hull. And we've had a speaker against the motion. Councillor Crossland, I thought you spoke against the motion. You don't keep coming back for more, though, I'm afraid.
No, it's only a question.
Well,
I just can't
How many of Ms. McKenzie? How many?
I've only had two.
Right. Okay. We'll let you go. Yep.
Question is, as it is a close, would it be possible to remove one of the footpaths and plant trees there?
Mr. Lundborg or Mr. Allen?
Through the chair, look, that could possibly be looked into if council wishes as an alternative option.
All right, we've had speakers against. Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Then I'll go back to Councillor Valescu to close the debate.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't expect all this sudden interest. There's three trees that are going to be removed. One is probably about 2.5 metres. The other one would be shorter than me, and another one would be just shorter than me. So they're very small. They're all on one side. I've just had a look on Google Maps. This parking issue has been ongoing. There has been subdivision in the area. And I think that's probably more of a concern about losing space. It's the actual subdivisions, which we do allow in the area. There's one 10, 10A, 10B, 10C. There's not enough parking there in that street. You know, and that's what people have been complaining about for a long time. And it is slightly smaller than other streets. So we're giving that breathing space. And this is what the community wants. I don't think that they would want their car park, their footpath torn up so we can put trees there. There might be an option to put more trees down the other end. They have been drainage issues in that area as well. So this is an option to make it a little bit wider without reducing the parking. And we looked at options, you know, whether we go one side, one side, no parking, but that wasn't one that people wanted. I think this is a good outcome, and this has been an ongoing issue. It's not something that's been looked at flippantly. And if members are worried about precedents, we're looking at a case-by-case basis. And I think a lot of streets won't be this wide, for one thing. And secondly, there'll be other things that will restrict this option. So please, members, don't have a closed mind to this. For this area, this is the best option, and I urge you to support it.
I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion's carried. So
have a division, please.
Division's called. Councillor Crossland. All those in favour, raise your hand, please. I'll call out the names. Councillors Telfer, Masika, Valescu, Schilling and Clancy. All right, I thought I saw six before, but let's test this. Those against, please raise your hand. Councillor Mason, Councillor Duncan, Councillor Crossland, Councillor Pryor, Councillor Hull. And Councillor Garr. Right, so the motion is defeated. There are other options on the table. People, would someone like to move an alternative motion? Councillor Crossland.
I'll move option 5.
All right. Staff have the... Are staff happy that they have that in a proper form? Basically, the first sentence would replace options 1 and 3. Oh, sorry, clauses 1 and 3, and then the head petitioner would still be advised. I presume you want to advise the head petitioner, Councillor Crossland.
So it's just basically supports option 4 and advises the head petitioner.
No, sorry, it was option 5.
Option five,
describe what that is. So
yes.
If the first sentence under parking controls continue to allow, if that could be included in brackets after option 5, Ms. Moritz, does that make sense? It's on page 212. grabbing that first sentence, are you? So I'm not sure if you're working on it.
Sorry. So proceeding with option five, parking controls, are we keeping to undertake community consultation?
I think it's already been done.
Well, that's a question. Mr. Lundborg, has consultation been done on the parking controls option specifically?
Through the chair, there has been, but not in this current format of staggering north and south.
Right. Well, Councillor Crossland, normally there would be consultation.
Yeah, I'm surprised we got to this motion and the option five hasn't even been offered to the community.
So certainly... Yeah,
there have been parking controls...
Sorry, order. Councillor Blescu, can we please not have the interruptions? Otherwise, you just have to stay muted. Councillor Crossland, are you including in your motion... subject to community consultation or not?
Yes. If they've not had that put to them, I think it's got to be offered.
Yes. So, Ms. Moritz, does that help you?
Yes.
You leave those words in there that I can see in blue.
Yep.
You put in brackets, maybe after the parking controls, that whole sentence, continue to allow, just so that anyone reading the minutes will know what we're talking about. Thank you. Now the words subject to community consultation would pop in there. Subject to. Right. And two is advising the petitioner. Number three, that clause just, well, is there a cost we need to, sorry, that figure should be $1,000, shouldn't it? Rather than $25,000? Mr. Lundborg, is the $1,000 figure that I can see on page 212 correct?
Yeah, correct. Yep.
All right. So there probably does need to be that clause three, Councillor Crossland. Yep. So that, I think that's all now in order, Councillor Crossland. So are you happy to proceed?
I was just checking the number of cars. So it still allows for 17 car parks.
Yes.
Yep.
So did you wish to speak to the motion?
Very, very briefly. This still allows for better egress in and out of the close and on-street parking. They'll probably find that the speed of cars will increase, but other than that, I can't see any negatives, and we'll maintain the street trees, which we've been fighting for several years.
Is that seconded? Councillor Gard, wish to speak?
Yes, I would like to, Your Worship. I think it needs to be in the consultation that there is an interconnection between number of parks and number of trees, and it's of great concern to Council. And could it be put in the process of consultation to residents that Council is seeking cooperation with the planting of extra trees, and whether that be in their own premises or a solution on the street side, one of the two or both?
I think there's only so much we can probably dictate in a council meeting, but I'm sure staff will take that on board.
Yep.
Mr. Lundborg's nodding. Did you wish to say anything else in seconding the motion, Councillor Gard? You're right. Thank you. Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Clancy.
I've just got a question. Mr. Lundborg, are you able to confirm what parking restrictions Mitchell Street's had in the past and how effective they were?
Through the chair, I'm sure the General Manager of City Service may be able to help support with the answering of this question, but I know there has been signs erected in the street that do try to encourage people not to park adjacent to each other. That may cause parking concerns. There's also been some minor line marking around driveways to help improve some ingress and egress driveway access issues as well.
Rightio, there's a little bit about that under the heading discussion on page 210. Councillor Clancy, had you finished then? Yes. Now, Councillor Schilling, are you speaking or questioning?
Yeah, I'm going to speak against the motion.
We have just had someone speak against the motion.
Well, no, Councillor Clancy asked a question.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm speaking against this motion basically because I thought Councillor Valescu's original motion actually made sense for the area. It's obviously an issue that's been going around for a while. And I was generally concerned about the trees because I hadn't had time to go and visit the street. But Mr. Lundborg answered my questions and we're going to replace the trees. But my only real concern is that I'm unsure as to why this issue is coming to the chamber when in my ward, for example, we deal with this quite regularly at a ward level. We consult and then it just gets added to the capital works budget and we deal with it. So I don't understand why it's coming to the chamber, but I am against the motion that is currently before us.
Thank you. Look, it's a fair procedural question. I don't know the answer. Mr. Allen, have you got the answer to that? I mean, we don't normally deal with where to put the street sign and that sort of thing at the general council meeting.
Yeah, through the chair, generally we do deal with this type of issue through the ward briefing. However, there was a petition in October that went to council on the 12th of October, and we're responding to that council resolution.
I see. It's a follow through from that. So that does explain it. That's how it got here. So we've had speaker against the motion. Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Valescu, you're keen to speak against as well, aren't you?
I've got a question.
A question, yes.
But if I get to speak against, that would be great. I'm just wondering, with the there's 11 properties affected, two of them partially, but the rest are going to have no on-street parking as part of this, on-street parking as part of this option. Is that... What normally happens in these situations?
Mr. Lundborg.
Chair, sorry, I'm not too sure what the question is, Jason.
So when there's a suggestion that looks like there's going to be no access to on-street parking in front of 11 dwellings, but two of them only partially, just part of that, how would we normally deal with that? I guess what do we tend to get as a response?
Through the chair, sorry. I guess the parking restrictions will only impact one side of the street at a time, so there will be opportunity to park on the opposite side of the street in this case.
But it sounds like in terms of a parking policy, we don't have anything down to that level of detail. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Councillor Valescu, there has been a speaker against, but if there's any sort of factual matter relating to what Councillor Crossland said, because you brought the previous motion, if you want to make some very concise factual remarks, then go ahead.
There is a demand for as much parking on the street as possible. There are, you know, some residences don't have enough parking for their premises. It's a smaller street, so that's why something that actually increased the parking allowed and had that wider space was important. I think there was concern last time around when we looked at, you know, banning parking on one side. This was a while ago, and people weren't happy of not being able to park in front of their house. So it's an issue.
All right. Are there any other speakers? If not, then Councillor Crossland, you wish to speak and reply?
Yeah, two replies. I feel for these residents, but you've got to understand that other wards probably have the similar issue. I've got plenty of streets where they've put yellow lines on both sides, so nobody gets any parking. And it would be great to widen the road and provide indented parking and remove trees, but I'm just not in favour of it. And we regularly do get these types of scenarios coming to ward briefings. From my experience, it goes for consultation and the 50% rule applies. If people vote for it, it goes in. If people vote against it, you'll end up with no change. So the parking you've got will be retained on both sides.
All right. Those in favour of the option 5 motion, please raise your hand. Those against the option 5 motion, please raise your hand. That's defeated. So look, rather than muck around with other options, I'd ask ward councillors and staff and potentially other councillors to try and work on this in between meetings, and we should move on, not having resolved. There is the issue of advising the head petitioner, but that can be done administratively anyway. Can't we send them a copy of the report in the minutes? I don't think we need a motion for that, seriously. So let's move on. Page 218. This rescission motion is just to reallocate $10,000 that is not being spent on concert at the Cove this year to have a launch at the soccer facility, which is expected for early April. But previously it came to council in a highly prescriptive fashion, and that's what we're now trying to untangle. So anyone want to move that way? Councillor Crossland, wish to speak to it? Is that seconded? Councillor Duncan, wish to speak to it? No? Any a question, Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, just a broad question. Going forward, with any motions dealing with the soccer facility, can we actually deliberately separate that from the Sam Willoughby BMX track? This is linked as well. There's reference to those reports. I think the time has come to separate those two projects. There's no commonality apart from the road that they're actually they're adjacent to. So can is that a reasonable request?
Well, I think it is, and we can just leave that for administration to take on board. Bear in mind that there was common construction contractors, and that's probably why they were tied up during the funding sort of process, but that is almost probably for almost finished with. So it would, there's sense in that suggestion from Councillor Hull, unless management want to comment, maybe there's something that we can't see.
No, the only reason why these were together is because the prior reports were, so they're listed as prior reports. So that's the
only referred to in the history. Thanks, Ms. McKenzie. Councillor Duncan, you did second. You didn't want to speak, but you have got something to add now. Just unmute, please.
I've just got a question. It says reallocate the $10,000 from the concert at Cove. Is that last year's concert funding or is it this year's?
It was whenever the last one was due, I think, because we would have think that. So that would have been December last year. It was notionally due to occur. And I think it was COVID concerns, et cetera, that it's not proceeding. Now, I believe that was discussed with ward councillors. Mm-hmm. Blank looks, but okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? No, that is unanimous. Thank you. So we move on to page 220, Edwardstown Liquor Licence. I notice... Yes, so there are options, but the reasons are explained by staff why option 1 is recommended. So who would like to move? Councillor Masika.
Thanks, Your Worship. I'd like to move the motion as printed. And also I'd like to say some few words that the proposed option one, it makes sense for the clubs to be empowered to generate and retain revenues from their use of the facilities. I know it has been a long journey to transition to the new management and operational model for the Edwardstown Soldiers Memorial Recreation Ground. And the proposed motion supports the objective of the model. And that's why I would like to move that motion as it proposed.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Mason, you wish to speak? No. Anyone against or a question? Councillor Crossland?
Just a question. I don't know who this was going to be aimed at, but I noticed that for the 5 months that we'll be running Edwardstown, when there's no club there, we'd have to be charged $140 a day to get a liquor license. Does that effectively mean that this building will be unavailable for 5 months? Because that looks a bit cost prohibitive to run an event on top of hiring fees, etc.
I do know a lot of groups, when they're hiring a hall, they get the liquor license for the event as well. But who would like to answer that? Mr. Hubbard, are you going to take that on? Or thank you.
Yeah, through the chair, it doesn't prohibit us from hiring out the venue, and we would, for functions and events, just add that cost in. And normally there's room hire charges and those sorts of things, which we would incorporate, and we would just add that to that. But we can also have other events and activity hired in those rooms, which doesn't require alcohol sale.
Councillor Crossland.
And just a follow-on question. It sort of infers that it's not possible for us to get a license that operates for 5 months when the clubs leave, do a switch.
Mr. Hubbard.
Yes, through the chair again. It's potentially, nothing's not possible. I've got to be mindful of here that I'm not a legal expert when it comes to liquor licensing, but it would have to go to the commission, and the commission would have to make a determination on that. But the advice that we've received says that it is unlikely.
Any more from Councillor Crossland? Otherwise, go to Councillor Hull.
Just a very quick question. This means that any of those clubs lodge their own liquor licensing application in their own right?
They will. Well, Mr. Hubbard?
Through the chair, yep, that's correct. The clubs would put forward a club application, and on that basis would hold their own licence, and we would surrender ours to enable that to occur.
And just to follow up on that, Mr. Hubbard, no one club would have the whole building's licence, are you saying? It would be some sort of joint arrangement, would it?
The liquor licence has to basically be in line with their licence agreement with council for the times that they have exclusive use only. So the three clubs would only have the liquor licence apply to the times that they've got the rights for exclusive use of the property. And that is sections of the property, such as the upstairs function rooms for the football club for 7 months of the year. And for the cricket club, it would be the canteen for the 5 months that they have it. And for the bowls club, it is the downstairs area for the 12 months that they have an agreement for that space.
Doesn't that sound a bit like what you just said was unlikely for council to have for its 5 months upstairs?
Yes, but council has to have an on-premises licence, which is different to a club licence. A club liquor licence can allow that. An on-premises licence doesn't permit that.
Right, good point. Councillor Hull, anything more? It's been moved and seconded. No other speakers. Then I'll simply put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand, please. Those against, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. So we go over to the Garrock position. Now, it's a bit tricky one, bit of a last-minute thing, and I know there's some information that's just come in today, I think. So, Ms. McKenzie, maybe you could just step us through this one.
Through the chair, so the vacancy has come about for the two Garrock members from Onkaparinga and Mitcham, both sitting for State Parliament. Each councillor has been asked to put forward a nominee. It was discussed at last week's forum that Councillor Hutchinson would like to put his name forward, which would be ratified by this report. There's been two nominations, one from each council put forward, which are listed within the report. What we need to do is select which one of those we wish to support, because there is only two positions, assuming we will be nominating Councillor Hutchinson for one.
If we're going to go into a discussion about individuals, that would trigger the confidentiality sections, I suspect. But Councillor Pryor has a question or point of order, perhaps?
Did we miss 12.5, the second budget review?
We've missed the budget review, yeah.
I mean, it's important, the budget review. Right. Well, what happened to Ray? Where's Ray?
That's it. I didn't see Ray in the room. I didn't think we'd have to do it. But the chair was at fault there, skipped over it, but thanks for the reminder. Glad someone picked it up. Shall we go back to that then, after having introduced that item? The next item on the agenda is in fact on page 224, the second budget review. So start off, any questions? If not, someone to move, or Councillor Hull's got a question?
Mr. Mayor, I've got to be very careful how I put this, but just generally, in terms of the variances that we're aware of in the confidential items, how transparent is this document in terms of reflecting those issues in the confidential agenda tonight?
All right. I presume a review is retrospective rather than kind of right up to the minute. But Mr. Barnwell, what can you say?
Thank you, to the chair. This budget review, second budget review, which is a budget review as at the end of December. I think it's forecasting through the end of the year. Those budget items that you're referring to, Councillor Hull, have not been factored in here yet. And should we make a decision, be made tonight, we can factor those into third budget review, which is what's in the recommendations, I believe.
Right. Mr. Mayor, does that include the Glandor cost blowout with the cricket?
Well, I think...
I can answer that.
Well, I think you know the answer to that, Councillor Hull, because Mr. Barnwell has just said it refers to up to the end of December. Other matters will come into the next budget review.
I'd like to ask the question, and Mr. Barnwell was willing to answer it, so I'm all ears.
Mr. Barnwell.
Thank you, to the Chair. I'm happy to answer that question. There has not been an adjustment made for that Glandor funding within this budget. There is the project team looking after that have identified funding that they potentially would be able to use within existing funds. So they're not asking for additional funding. However, to me, that's, when this was brought up at VR2, my recommendation was it comes back to council, because it's a council decision. They provided the funding in the first place, and it's probably up to council to provide further funding. And that's that was my recommendation to the team when it was raised.
Mr. Barnwell, is that some sort of expenditure review meeting you're using an acronym for? We don't necessarily know what that is. Did you say ER or BR or something like that?
Budget review. BR is budget review BR. 2 or 3 or 1. Yeah, sorry. Apologies.
BR2 is what we're looking at in front of us, right? Well,
yes.
That being the case, Mr.
Yes. Councillor Hull, are you now debating?
And is it yes. I think there's got to be a time to raise this matter. And that
right.
is
I'll tell you what we'll do, let's go back to the move of the motion, Councillor Telfer. Did you wish to say anything about it, Councillor Telfer?
Yes, I rang and asked my questions about this, and I hear that we in first budget had 600,000 we were looking at, and we've got it down to 422,000, and have some assurance that by the end of the year will be in an equal cash position. So there are some worthwhile things being done. And also I noticed the favourables were to do with the day-to-day operations and work, which is healthy.
Now, is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, nothing to add? Sorry, there question. Is. Sorry, Councillor Crossland, yes?
Question, please. I didn't understand what Councillor Telfer meant then, but my question is, how in these budget reviews do we find out where money has been added to and where it has been removed from? So we talk about 200,000, or I think Councillor Telfer talked about 400,000 from somewhere, but so that's got to come from somewhere, or somebody grossly inflated their budget to have so much money spare in it. How do we see that now in these reports, all this extra money floating around?
Mr. Barnwell? Sorry, we'll come back to Councillor Telfer to clarify later. Mr. Barnwell?
Through the chair, the table on page 224 of our agenda highlights the main areas where there's been significant either savings or increases. There's a lot of, like, the 6,500 line budget lines, and I'm sure council don't want to see 6,500 budget lines. What we tried to do was look at the material variances and post that position, so council will have a governance view over the main areas. A lot of these savings in relation to drainage works, so we had, unlike, I know we're in difficult conditions at the moment, we've had a win in relation to a procurement contract there. We've also had road reseal savings. There's a whole host of minor savings up and down which have contributed to that 206. And there's a whole, the outdoor pool, for instance, is, so we're trying to highlight the main variances. The outdoor pool, we've had a favorable increase in income that we hadn't budgeted for. We're also highlighting that we had our recruitment costs are higher than expected, because we've had a huge amount of activity in the marketplace trying to attract and retain key staff. So, and also we've put in the council resolutions, which have actually impacted the budgets as well. There's five or six items there which are through council resolution. Two of them are confidential resolutions. So overall, we started off with a $681,000 deficit when we adopted the budget in June. We have now, despite the conditions we're operating under, we have pulled that back to a $422,000 deficit. So we've had a gain of $259,000. And I know we have other items which are going to come at us over the next 4 months. It's a very difficult climate to be operating in, but we are managing quite well.
May I say from the chair that we all know that every budget review has a list of favourable and unfavourable variations, and they are usually favourable. And that to some extent explains extra money, so-called. But Councillor Crossland, you go ahead. Another question?
Yeah, so without going into any confidential items, but let's say somebody moves, say, 200,000 into another budget line to prop it up. That 200,000 should have been our choice. It could have been that we wanted to reduce that 422 to 222. They're the types of questions I want to know. How do we stop that? Is there a limit where there's an operational need where it becomes, no, this is now, should be a council decision because it's a significant amount of money?
Mr. Barnwell.
Sure.
Well, Ms. Barnwell, then Mr. Harrison.
Through the chair, look, case in point, when we looked at the what was raised earlier on by Councillor Hull, that we're not prepared to move that. That's a council decision to either increase or decrease that money. We don't have the authority to do that, so we weren't going to prepare that as a budget adjustment. I think your last comment is in relation to significant expenditure. I think you adopt a budget, any significant move from that expenditure should come back to council for their decision. And that's the basis of what we will work on. And it should go through from the unit manager, operate the budget holder, right up to the GM, through EBC, and then through to council to ensure there's a proper governance process.
Order. I think we're getting into an area where it'd be more useful in a forum when we're discussing the budget to address these sort of delegations and notifications. I don't think anyone's, well, I'm not sure if anyone's really questioning the veracity of this budget review, but okay, Councillor Crossland, third and final question.
Oh, look, it's probably more of a comment, so I think I'll like you say, we'll move on.
All right, I mean, they are valuable questions. I just don't think that with a fairly typical budget review that we're going to thrash out the whole structure of financing and delegations. It is a question that we do need to grapple with. And I remind administration that at our planning day, I think it was that land and property, at least, were going to advise members of any upgrades or renewals of more than $100,000 in value. So I'm not sure if that's being done or not. That's the sort of thing that would assist councillors. Councillor Crossland, all right, you've got a comment arising from that?
I'll just add it in. From experience, I've had projects that would need an additional $3,000 spend, and that was too great for operations. I had to come back to council as a motion with notice. The other one, foreshore development, nearly a $2 million development, needed $50,000 for a bit more pavement.
So you're saying there seem to be inconsistencies.
There's got to be a number. It can't be flip-flopping around. And that's why we have no idea what's happening behind the scenes.
Can we, I know that in coming up fairly soon, I think it's in March, that we're dealing with the draft budget, Ms. McKenzie, in a forum. So can staff please be prepared to address this issue? It has been bubbling around for a while. Mr. Harrison, you wanted to comment as well.
Sure, thank you. And just very briefly, certainly in my time for Councillor Crossland but all elected members, I was somewhat concerned that there wasn't enough rigidity in the governance models for money going in or money coming out and movements. We have changed some of the practices, and certainly the Executive Budget Committee and financial principles that I've imposed through ELT and SLT now bring in, I think, very good structure for approval processes. People can't move or adjust any monies from fixed lines unless they get approval to do so. That must come through the EBC process, where I would like to think that we need to have some degree of flexibility of what comes back to council, just because we need to efficiently manage the budget and keep projects moving. I can assure you and give you some comfort, hopefully, that anything of any material value of substance will and should always come back to council. If it had a explicit purpose for the allocation of the budget for a particular project, and in your papers on page 242, appendix 3, you'll actually see a new table which starts to individually identify movements of funds, either ups or downs. Well, we're trying to efficiently manage the budget and progress projects, because it would be literally impossible to come back to council for every degree of variation. But I certainly have heard loudly, and I support strongly, that if there is any material value of change of any substance, and we are altering the intent or the purpose for what the funding was approved for by council, we must come back to council for notation and seeking support for any redirection in that sort of manner. We're certainly building and leading towards that direction very, very quickly. So that is the case. And as recent as last week, EBC, there was a proposal to redirect funds for a more efficient heating model for the Marion Outdoor Pool. I guess we could have done that internally, and the decision was strongly taken by myself, supported by others, that should come as a paper for council to consider, because it is a priority project. We hope that elected members would support that view in relation to redirection of monies. And that is a case in discussion here, that we will come back to council for the discussion, for the support. And so there is that transparency in relation to redirections.
Right, Ms. McKenzie, how many councillors have had 3 questions?
Through the chair, the only one that's had 3 questions at the moment is Councillor Crossland.
Very good. Councillor Hull, you've got a question?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
what Mr. Harrison's saying and what Mr. Barmore's saying don't seem to be congruent. Mr. Barmore's saying, for example, with Glandor, that nearly $250,000 extra, that blowout, is going to be funded from savings within. Now, that's a lot of money, and that's the sort of money that I would expect go through the very committee that Mr. Harrison's talking about. The other thing is road seals. Well, $206,000. Which roads aren't being sealed? Like how can we have savings on road seals?
You've really got two questions there. So, Mr. Harrison, well, I'm counting them as two, and I think that must be your third. So, first of all, incongruency. Mr. Harrison, I guess it's for you to comment, but the challenge is there, suggesting that Mr. Barnwell has really given a different answer to what you were just suggesting. What do you think?
Certainly, thank you, through the chair. I completely refute that proposition. In fact, that discussion did go through EBC. It went through a briefing to myself first to highlight the differences. It was then directed through EBC for consideration and determination, and it will be discussed by General Counsel. So there has been a three-staged approach. It has come to Council for awareness and transparency, and I would have thought that's exactly what I'm advocating should occur. And if Councillor Hull was to look at page 242 of his papers, we've itemised some of the references that he talks about in relation to capital works and roof and budget, in relation to roadworks through multiple cases for that transparency within the councillor's papers.
So the other question, Councillor Hull's final question, was in relation to road seals. So Mr. Barnwell, where can the councillor find what is being sealed and what isn't, etc.?
We can certainly provide the councillors with a list of resealed projects. There was an initial list which went through, initial list of road reseals, which was in the adopted budget. These are the ones that Ms. Harrison referred to on page 242 are roads that have been removed from that process for, and the various reasons given to us why. And there's been further consideration as to what might be added in. The budget hasn't been reduced, or the scope of the project hasn't been reduced. I can certainly get Mr. Allen's team to provide a list of road seals if that's required.
Perhaps that can just be done by email to Councillor Hull, because what I hear you saying is that the road reseals were adopted by Council in the last budget.
Yeah.
Those that have been removed, explanation has been given in this report, and that's where it stands.
Yep.
Right. If Councillor Hull could just take that up with management between meetings, that would be appreciated. Councillor Gard, you've got a question?
Yes, Your Worship, just carrying on from the point you were just making, I'm just fascinated by, well, not fascinating, it's a bit cynical, I'm just interested to know what the process is to judge when a road should be resealed, because if it goes before council as a proposition for resealing, my assumption would have been that it had been assessed, but it appears from the list on page 242 that may not be the case. I just wanted some clarification on that.
I don't know, Mr. Allen or Mr. Lyons might be the better person to answer.
Through the chair, there's a number of roads that we've deferred as a result of SA Water upgrade and service upgrade. So I think there's another one for ETSA services as well. The one of note is the Cove Road. So I think the ward elected members are well aware that there was a water main burst around July last year. That reinstatement is still unresolved, and we're still working with SA Water to get that resolved. You can't carry significant loads, so large trucks can't actually go through the Cove Road. We decided to defer that until that issue is resolved.
Right. Then I think it's been moved and seconded. Ms. McKenzie, all in order. I'll simply put it to the vote. This controversial budget review. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against. I think that was carried by majority. Thank you. Oh, sorry, it was carried by majority. That's right. Very well. Now, we were just talking about the local government committee vacancies, probably to attend one meeting. But Ms. McKenzie, it occurs to me that if councillors are in the position to publicly discuss the merits of one or other candidate from other councils, then it's reflecting on the personal affairs of people and would be confidential per the Local Government Act.
So one of the councillors provided her profile, which was included within the agenda. The other one circulated it. I circulated it to members tonight. They've both given permissions for those profiles to be public. So anything within the profiles would be fine.
But that's not my question. We're here to we're being asked to evaluate the profiles and offer opinions about the merits of the people.
Yes, so if members were going to move into discussion on the merits and of the individual's performance, then yes, you'd probably need to move into confidence to do so.
Well, that's my suggestion to members. You can understand why. Call it diplomatic if you like, but the justification is there in the Local Government Act that quite possibly, like any selection panel work that we do, we normally do that in confidence. So could we move this to the confidential section of the agenda? We can deal with it as the first item. Councillor Schilling, what do you say?
I'm actually ready to move a motion because we've always done these in the public in the chamber.
When there's a multiple choice of candidates from other councils or not?
We have previously just done this in the chamber before, so I don't see what the difference is today.
Oh, well, I'm in the hands of the council. So, Councillor Schilling, you go right ahead.
Members, I'm prepared to move a motion that we move option one as is, and then with number two that we nominate Councillor Lindy Tauber from the City of Mitcham. My reasoning being that it would be foolish of us not to support our own councillor, but I think for diversity, it would be good to support a male and a female, and obviously the male is coming from our own council, so I think the logical thing is then to support Councillor Lindy Tauber from Mitcham Council.
All right. Councillor Hull, before I give you the call, can you just tell me, are you seconding the motion? Yes.
Where's Councillor Hutchinson's profile?
We are probably deemed to know Councillor Hutchinson. Were you seconding the motion or asking the question?
No, look, it's contemporary practice. If you're applying for one of these...
Well, order, Councillor Hull. If you want to comment in debate, you can do that. If you have a factual question, which you just had, was answered, that's fine, but otherwise I'm looking for a seconder to the motion. If you're not doing that, Councillor Duncan is seconding the motion. Thank you. Did you wish to speak to it? Now I can call for anyone who wishes to speak against the motion. Councillor Hull.
Well, I'll get back to the question I asked. With an LGA appointment like this, you put forward a profile, whether you're a current councillor or not. I don't know what Councillor Hutchinson's doing in his professional life now, which is relevant to the other candidates. I've got no idea. Don't even know where he lives. But he's not here tonight. In fact, we don't see much of him at all. So I'm just wondering.
Now, you're on a warning for making adverse comments about another member. And this is the sort of thing that I was concerned about.
It's in the annual report.
And you're on a warning. Ms. McKenzie, can you please mute Councillor Hull? He's on a warning for interjecting against the chair of the meeting.
Can I ask a procedural motion?
Not until I give you the call, but I appreciate your asking. I just wanted to check in with Councillor Mason, who had her hand up, I think. Councillor Mason.
I was just going to second, but that's all right.
You're seconding the motion. I'll take that. Did you wish to?
Councillor Duncan already has.
Sorry, Councillor Duncan did that. Right.
Yeah.
Councillor Crossland, you have a procedural motion.
Yeah, I don't know whether you can caution Councillor Hall for speaking what is factual information in a report. And he has got a point.
There is no point of order. So that is not a point of order. Let us proceed with the meeting and preferably as respectfully as possible. Yes, Councillor Crossland.
If we're supporting somebody, how do we know they're going to attend the meeting when they haven't even turned up to this meeting? Can we ask how many meetings Councillor Hutchinson has missed in the last 2 years?
Well, I'm not sure if Ms. McKenzie, do you have an immediate answer to that?
And I have to take it on notice, as Councillor Hull alluded before, that information is available within the annual report, but I don't have it in front of me.
And I think we need to take care in not casting aspersions on a member for not turning up to a meeting. We don't know the reasons. We don't know if there are health or personal reasons. So we just need to be very careful about that. Councillor Crossland, you had more?
How many meetings will these councillors be requested to attend, and have we had any indication whether or not they would be available to attend?
My understanding is that Councillor Hutchinson has indicated his ability to attend in the short term. People can make their own estimations about the probability of Mayor Thompson or Mayor... Mayor Holmes-Ross.
They won't be attending.
Councillor Crossland, you're on a final warning, I've got to say, interjecting against the Mayor. This is not a back and forth discussion, trying to sort out the question you're answering, and you're not helping this meeting. So you are on a final warning, I've got to say, and I'll just come back to you about that. The question was in order, and the question was about the number of meetings which might be involved. People can make their own mind up about the probability of Mayor Thompson and Mayor Holmes-Ross being elected to state parliament. If that happens, there would be a monthly GAROC meeting until, I'm not sure if it's until caretaker period or until the council election. So you're looking at a period of... some months. If indeed Mayor Holmes-Ross and Mayor Thompson resume their duties, then we're probably talking about one or at most two GAROC meetings. Ms. McKenzie, do you have any comment on that assessment?
Yes, my understanding is there's a meeting on the 28th of February, which Councillor Hutchinson has said he can attend. That would be the one that would take place during the election period. And then after that, it will be dependent on if anyone has won a seat.
Councillor Crossland, anything further?
And is there a payment per meeting?
I think there is a payment per meeting, Ms. McKenzie.
There is. We haven't put that one in the report, though, so I'd have to take that on notice and let you know.
So I don't think it's substantial, but from memory, it's comparable to council committees, but not like a councillor's allowance or whatever. But anyway, that's taken on notice. Councillor Crossland, you've had three questions, but I'll let you go one more.
It's just to clarify, is that a payment per attendance, or do you get the money if you don't turn up?
I believe it's per attendance, but Ms. McKenzie, can you clarify?
I believe it's per meeting as well, but I would have to check and get back to you when we answer it in the question on notice.
All right. So with the question on notice, it's been moved and seconded. Questions have been asked and partly answered. If there's nothing more, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That's carried by majority. Thank you.